a few moments ago, I had given my my son one of the keynotes I brought from home, and I have a number of pieces of paper inside of it, keeping my place from years past speaking. And I said to him before I gave it to him, please do not lose my place. In the middle of the last keynote, he turns to me, the paper strewn on the floor. You must hate me, Dad. I lost your place. Happens to be I looked at the page before I gave it to him, so I know what page it was on anyways. I do not hate him. And it's not much of a difference that he dropped the papers out. But in the keynote we're about to read, we learn a lot about the impact of our actions. There's a real ripple effect in the world sometimes. A person does a certain thing, and the world will never be the same. If you look through this keynote, as we're going to describe, and we saw a little bit last night as well, the constellations, the sun, the moon, there's less of a shine. Maybe in this world we can't see it, but if you go out Shemayim, which we're going to describe at the very beginning of the Kina, the heavens are different. The sun does not shine as bright, the fruit does not taste as sweet, because the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer found the way that it once was. I'm going to go through with just two or three lines just to make it more meaningful for us. I'm using the art scroll, page 162. In the very fourth line, we talk about where the ripple effect really began. We reference the time of the Midbar, the time of the desert. As we all know, this whole process began not really with the Churban HaBayis. That was the result of what we did many years earlier, which was the chet of the Meraglim. We cried. We cried when there was no reason to cry. That began a process that to this day we still feel. If you look a little further, it describes in by Dalet, it's in alphabetical order, now that we're in this state when we can't see God, when the sun is not as bright, so we search with all of our heart to find Him. Can you imagine desperation? A person is despairing, he's trying his hardest to find something beloved, something lost to him. The panic that he feels. Imagine your great-great-grandfather, your namesake, gave something to you. And the cleaning lady came, and now you don't know where it went. You're panicking. You're searching. Your every drawer you open up, you throw the clothes out. You cannot find the panic. We can't do that all year round. We're human. We're not going to panic like that. We're not going to be tearing our hair out. We're not built that way. But one day a year, we are built that way. And that's now. We panic. B'chol lev, meaning there's not a fiber of my being right now that is not begging to find you again. Skip a little further. And in the art scroll, it's the next page where the letter Yud comes up. Elusi lezrasi tarti chazos. Ayu masi b'chol shana omeris hi hashana azos. Every single year, we beg God, and we believe this year is going to be the year. For many of us, I'm not sure how much we believe that. I heard someone say over, and I'm certainly guilty of this as well, when the first thing with Tisha B'Av finishes, what do? I take my keynotes, and I put it in my Tisha B'Av section in my base medrash. I should bury it. I should put it in Geniza. It's over. This is the year it's going to come in the end. But I don't do that. And not only that, but I keep my little notes from each year. Perhaps Nicole will ask me to speak again about the same keynote. I spoke about it a few years ago. But this was the year. I'm confident this is the year. So I guess I'm not so confident. How many of us are confident this is going to be the year? We say it. This is the year. My daughter last night, as we're having our egg and bread and ash on the floor, she's sitting dancing around the room. She goes, "What? Oh, what's going on?" She asks, "Coming now. Maybe it's coming right now." So I guess I didn't believe it. Now it's halacha. We're supposed to eat on the floor. But her breath of fresh air. And right now. Why not right now? Why not this year? Something that we don't feel all the time. We certainly should feel that way. And to finish off, one last point to bring up, and I think it's important as we go through all the difficult times of the kinos, many times we'll find in the middle somewhere thrown in a little glimmer of hope. I want to point out the one that I saw at least. And it doesn't sound so hopeful at first, but you'll understand what I mean in a minute. Right after the letter Yud of Ayadal Akol Ki Mudas Zos is the words Im Lo Ki Yad Hashem Asa Zos. I'll just retranslate the way it's translated in the article that I have. That had the hand of God not wrought all this, it could not have happened. Look around the world, doesn't make sense. Everything that happens to Jewish people, how careful we are to try to be the light unto nations, and yet we're, in the public, certainly in the media, we are the lowest of the nations. There's no way to explain except for being God's hand in the world. Im lo ki yad Hashem asos, it must be that this whole thing was from God. God's not sitting ignoring our tefillos. He hears every single one of them. He's involved very heavily in our lives. Can you imagine how terrible it would be if we sit here, we cry, we scream, we believe God doesn't hear us, and God's not involved? That would be terrible. The opposite. God is quite involved in our lives. The problem is that we give up of God ever hearing us. And with a quick story, just to try to make this, that part particularly, mean something to us. I said every year in my yeshiva, but I'll say it now. There was a time when I had punished one of my children for something they did. I'm sure it wasn't too bad, and it wasn't a big punch, and I had put him in their room. And my child was screaming to me, you know, Abba, Abba, please let me out of my room. My wife was very sensitive, looked at me, Avi, come on. He's been up there for 10 minutes. He's been screaming for 8 of them. Bring him down. I told her, no, I was educating my parents. You don't just listen to your children, don't give in. You gotta be tough sometimes. After another 15, 20 minutes of my son screaming, Abba, please let me down. Even I have a heart. And I decided to go up and bring my kid out of his punishment. And there I am walking up. I have 16 stairs, 2 separate stairs of 8. In my house, I walk up the first flight of 8. I'm getting to the second flight of 8. And it's 2 steps to my son's room. And I get to the door, and I put my hand in the door. And I wait for the last Abba. Please let me out. And he gave up. And I stayed there for about 10, 15 seconds, hand in the door. And he didn't ask me again. Went back downstairs, left him in his room. If you believe God's listening, then you could say it 1,000 times. But his hand might be right by that door. My daughter dancing might be right. Our kinos maybe can go into Sheamus. It's our job to believe it and to daven for it.